There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday. Phone number hadn't changed. 343-0106, 343-0106 for a text or a phone call. And if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, you have the additional way to get in touch, sending us one of those talkback messages. You just go to the front page there on the app, see the microphone icon. If you'll press that, lets you record the message, and it stops, and then it sends like an email, and we can play it back here on the show. So check those out as well. And coming up, April Marie Fogel later on in the show. Also today, Constitution Day. So we got a lot to talk about with the Constitution. And yes, we will talk about the story that has dominated some of the conversation around here. I'll call this story Paging Mr. Hamas. Paging Mr. Hamas. Paging Mr. Hamas. The Hamas pager story. We'll get, or no, Hezbollah.
Hezbollah.
Paging Mr. Hezbollah. Sorry. It was not Mr. Hamas. It was paging Mr. Hezbollah.
They use carrier pigeons.
Well,
in Gaza.
I just, when I heard the story, we'll get to that. I thought about the paging Mr. Hezbollah. And then I also thought about the emblematic, today was a good day from Ice Cube, which is one of the bumps here on this show. And thinking about halfway home, and my pager's still blowing up when Ice Cube said that. I don't think he meant actually exploding.
No, literal.
It was the fly girlies that were paging him, right? It was not the actual explosion. So we will get into that. Jeff Poore.
The fly girlies.
Yes.
This looks like what your pager must be like.
Back in the old days, man, the pager.
And still getting the fly girlies.
Yeah, I just don't have the pager. I got the fly girlies, I just don't have the pager. Maybe I'll go back to page. I remember it was a big deal when I got, and I thought, this is how much, yeah, I was a sucker. So I started working in radio. I was probably, got to probably 19 years old, working at the college station, then got picked up by the commercial station. And probably a year into it, they said, hey, we're going to give you a pager. And I was like, oh, man, I think I even called home and told mom and dad I was getting a pager. That was before anybody had a cell phone or anything. So I thought it was a big deal because I had a pager.
It's kind of silly now, though, doesn't it?
It does. But what it was it took me about 2 or 3 months to get over, you know, my big head about it, realize it was an electronic leash. You know, it was the pager would go off and then I'd have to make a call and they'd like, oh, you got to go out to Gordo or Carrollton, Alabama to work on the transmitter, or, oh, we need you to go do an extra car dealership remote this afternoon. When I first got the pager, oh, you couldn't tell me nothing, man.
So I got one for Christmas. And the coolest thing that it did is you could send like a short text message.
Mm-hmm.
But no one, I was not important enough to be paged.
Oh, I thought I was cool at first, but the only pages I got were from work at the Grant Radio Group.
All I got were pages from like my mom and dad.
Oh, see, I never got any. If it went off, it meant I had to leave what I was doing, doing a keg stand somewhere at a party in Tuscaloosa, and I had to leave and go, you know, go do work right. Stuff at the radio station because now I had a pager and I was on call.
Yeah, I don't know
but
why.
But they upped my rate. I think I was making. I think I got
my mom
$6
is,
an hour for doing that.
Somewhere. And my mom is listening. Why didn't you buy me a pager for Christmas?
Well, yours did not ever blow up, though, did it?
No, I remember I could see it. It was a Sprint pager, and I don't understand, like, what would be that important? You could just leave on the voicemail or answer machine at the time.
Yeah, the answering machine. Well, I don't know. Mine was because I was never home. I think that's what the bosses there at the Grant Radio Group wanted to make sure I was because I wasn't home. And then we got the big bag phones, but those are different stories. But what we're talking about, y'all, if you didn't hear this breaking today, at least 8 people killed and 2,750 others, including Hezbollah fighters, medics, and Iran's envoy to Beirut, were wounded today when the pagers they used to communicate exploded across Lebanon. Security sources and the Lebanese health minister said that. Lebanon's information minister, Zaid Makari, said the government condemned the detonation of the pagers as Israeli aggression. Hezbollah also blamed Israel for the pager blast and said it would receive its fair punishment, you know, the regular stuff there. Israeli military declined to comment about the detonations. A Hezbollah official speaking on the condition of anonymity said the detonation of the pagers was the biggest security breach the group had been subjected to in nearly a year in their conflict with Israel. It's pretty creative, man. Pretty creative. Dalton was talking to us here during the news that some people theorized that they were hacked. I think probably somehow Mossad or whatever did whatever they had to do to the pagers beforehand and somehow got them into the chain to be sold, and Hezbollah gets them.
What do you think Ricky thinks of this?
I don't know. I don't
really care. It's like I'm still kind of amazed that in modern warfare that the pager would play a role.
I think they're going low tech because it's, you know, you can
be harder to track
whatever it is, Pegasus or whatever the programs are to hack any phone. You know, right? I mean, even if you're out there like using Signal or
hang gliders in October last year when they staged that attack. So,
well, you can use. I mean, we've talked about this in the actual battlefield weapons. That as our country would go shoot down a drone that the Houthis may have $25,000 in of Iranian money, and we use a $1 million missile to shoot it down, it's a bad ratio there. And so much of the warfare, even though it's using technology like drones, is going lower tech, right? And the bigger tech, you know, look what the Ukrainians have done with their somewhat submersible drones,
right?
And taking out very expensive assets of the Black Sea fleet for Russia. On the flip side, I think the higher tech email, smartphones, and all that are probably easier to hack than a pager. And that's probably why they went pager. Isn't it weird, though, to think like Hezbollah gets a page like, go attack Israeli encampment at 5 this afternoon.
So, it was Star Wars Episode 3 or whatever, execute Order 66.
It's what they did, except this time it was explosions. So we'll get into the story later on in the show. It kept you over for a couple things. Number one, yes, to ask you, did Baron Coleman off air to give you any stock tips?
No.
If y'all didn't hear him earlier, so Baron Coleman's been on with Jeff a couple times, and absolutely straight up, when he said what he said, I remembered it exactly the same way. He said that they're going to try to take out Trump violently, kill him. You said that on your show.
I was like, no way. You know what I mean? Right. Like, all right, well, I know a lot of people believe that, but the Secret Service is too on their game. And this is like, Sean, like, I
thought the same thing as you.
Been around these presidential campaigns and just knowing, like, how much of a hassle it is to get through security and deal with the Secret Service. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, they snuffed that out pretty quick.
Well, And you mentioned what it was like. I mean, I didn't go to, I just went to 2. You've gone to hundreds of these events where you have to get there so early. They do a sweep and they do all these things. So then Butler, Pennsylvania happens. And like, holy cow, this really happened. But I really didn't think right then about what Barrett had said. And then he comes back on and says they're going to try to keep doing it again, I think, till they're successful. And I mean, sure as heck, and I get that somebody else now was going to try. To do that, it was, yeah. So if he's got any other stock tips or anything, let me know. I'll be interested in.
Well, I mean, and he's like, Donald Trump will never be president again. I don't know. I'm not there with him, but if he turns out to be right, then I we got to stop doubting him, I guess.
He also said, I do disagree, and we'll talk about this on this Constitution Day. I do disagree that he said that if they are successful, that there won't be much turmoil from the right on it. I think he's inaccurate there. And I think I think people across the country, if something like that happens, you might even see movement from fair-minded Democrats and independents. I think that's,
I don't know.
That's a bridge
I mean,
too
I don't
far.
Know what the day after looks like. And we ought to be at least kind of thinking about this. I do think there will be something, but how widespread will it be? I mean, will it be like summer BLM or will it, you know, is it Tea Party 2.0? Like, I don't know how people will be.
But hopefully we don't have to deal
cross
with that,
that bridge. You know, cross but bridge. I mean, it's at least important to consider, I would think.
It's and with this happening, the questions about increased security for Trump, obviously that's the easy stuff to talk about. Of course they should have, and of course they should now do that. It does make me want to ask you, from your political mind, the movement here, is it, like you've said this before, if something happens all the time, then it just loses impact. Mm-hmm. It's strange to think that that could be assassination attempts, but does this have less currying of favor for Trump than the first one did? You know, do you have,
probably,
because you pointed out they didn't pull Joe and Mika off on this one.
No, but I'm not, like, I don't think that this, how long is it until somebody, if they keep going in this direction, how long will it be until somebody try on the Republican side or conservative side or whatever goes after the Democrat, goes after a Democrat, goes after Tim Walz or Kamala Harris?
I hope they don't. I hope they don't. Let's see, before we go to the break, and Jeff's got to get out of here, but Gary's been holding on. Let's go to Gary. Gary, you want to talk pagers? What you got?
Just good morning. When you talked about pagers blowing up, it reminded me. Have you ever heard of the comedian Roy D. Mercer?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Anyway. He had some real funny stuff, and I've got a lease on a number of farms in Kansas, and in a tradition each year when we ride out, we listen to Roy D. Mercer's stories, which, you know, are hilarious. One of his wife's name, if I remember right, Nandine. But anyway, one of his funny stories is the pager that blows up on Nandine's hip. Anyway, I'll leave you with that. But if anybody Googles Roy D. Mercer, they can listen to his different stories, and they're hilarious.
Yeah, it's some Americana there. Yeah, I mean, I remember hearing those on cassette tape. People had recorded them,
that's,
and
right,
they passed them around like they had, yep, some kind of some kind of secret files. They're like, dude, here, listen to this.
Yeah,
I've still got some old CDs with them.
There you go.
But anyway, I just want to mention that because one of his best ones is on, about the pagers that blew up on Nandine's hip.
Okay. Well, I will tell you what. I appreciate the call, Gary. I'm going to have to, you know, during a break there, go YouTube that and hear.
I haven't thought about Roy D. Mercer in a long time.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
You seem to agree that you got it, too, that used to be on, like, somebody'd have an old TDK tape, and like, dude.
Yeah, I'd be like, just.
We'd sit around in the old ramshackle house in Tuscaloosa and listen to these things, like, bah!
We just ran around in our car going somewhere in high school. I remember listening Roy to D. Mercer, James Gregory, like, kind of, there were a bunch of them. Kind of these old, like, Southern-ish, culturally Southern.
I'm trying
comedians.
To remember the guy, and it's,
this is before, like, this is kind of pre-ish Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah, and the guy I'm thinking about, there's another guy, I'll come up with his name at some point, was from, like, the Knoxville area.
Yeah.
And he there's a famous one where he calls a Tom McCann shoe store and tells somebody he's going to come up there and whip their butt.
But yeah, it was like a old radio down the dial gig. Remember, he would go on their show.
Yep. And I think the story, if I remember correctly, the guy was like dying of terminal cancer. So for fun, I mean, he was in his house for like 2 years dying of cancer. So he just prank called everybody around East Tennessee and made it that way. Jeff, I appreciate you holding over for us. If people want to, you're going to Tuscaloosa. I don't want to out completely. But if people want to go on social media and tell you what you should get at Taco Casa, would that be something you would enjoy? Or?
Tell you what, text me on the program tomorrow. Oh. So a lot of Sean's listeners don't listen to my show. But if you're listening to this show right now and you're like, who is that guy?
They all know you.
I'm on 9 to noon. Come check it out and see how irritated you can make me by just a simple text.
It is Taco Casa, Taco Casa, Taco Casa.
You could talk about Taco Casa, yeah. And that would probably be very triggering.
All right, so there you go.
The reheated Hungry Man special, the Mexican version. Yeah, I mean, you could go get it at Taco Casa.
Yeah, it wasn't a long drive to drag him into that. Jeff, thanks for being on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Boogity boogity boogity. Here we go. Text line, phone line, same phone number. 343-0106. 343-0106. Don't have a pager for you to get through. Those are the old days. I was such a sucker. Probably 19 years old. I'd say 18 or 19. I started 17 years old, University of Alabama. 17, 18. Yeah, so I'm 18 or 19 years old. I got the pager, and Lord, you could tell me nothing. I was big timing. And it was just the electronic leasher. Like, hey, this boy will work right here. We could get him to work at all hours. And it took me months to go, hey, this thing isn't as cool as I thought it was. From the text line here, Fire Dog says, let's see, I had a Sprint pager early on in my Air Force career. So, Fire Dog, did you have that moment where you thought it was cool when you first got it? And then, or did you already know it was going to be the electronic tether back then? Monty, I love it. Somewhere in an old hardwood bottom in Perry County at the Plantation Hunters Club is a green and black Motorola pager that's been lying there since 1996. Now, Monty, did you drop it or did you sling it? Did the pager go off while you're hunting and you were over? Or did you drop it? Tell me what happened there. Let's see. This texter said, good show, Jeff. I've always listened to you on everybody else's show, but never here. Now I'm tuned in. Good. Pat said, what about Willie P. Richardson? I have to go back and sort out all these people that did the prank calls back then. It was pretty popular in the 80s and 90s. That's what, remember our program director saying, my first morning show I did with the guy who's now the assistant district attorney in Kanawha County, West Virginia, Dave Bishop, one of the finest human beings I know. He and I would get our program director to say, well, you think about doing some prank calls, and then we'd lay out what we wanted to do. He said, no, you can't do that. That'll get us in trouble. And like what the program director thought would be a good prank call was just dumb, and we wouldn't do it. Let's see. Vince says, I remember one of his prank calls. He said, I'll knock your teeth so far down your throat, you'll have to drop your pants to chew your food. let's see. So some more suggestions. Listen, we ought to like pull these all together in one. But there should be a repository, right? That's a fan. There's my fancy word today. A repository for all the old prank callers out there. All right, it is. And when we come back here, we're going to do some. You know, I like to talk about Constitution. Talk about a bunch here. Constitution Day is today. Commemorates the formation and signing of the Constitution by the 39. Back on September 17th, 1787, recognizing all who were born in the United States or by naturalization have become citizens. Think, and we talk about it. I could play some drum and fife behind it and do like one of these shows that gets real emotional and read the words. And maybe I've done that on occasion or two. But y'all know they've been listening a long time. I'm way more interested in the Constitution, way more interested in the rule of law than the individuals running for office. It's one of the things you have to drag me kicking and screaming into a populist melee because I'm into the paper. I'm into the words that were put down here. I would say, though, I mean, as a fan, those 39, I'm a fanboy of the 39, that put the Constitution together. And think about, we talk now about how they're so brave. They're so brave. Whatever they do, they went out and did something. They're so brave. Look at their bravery. These guys had stones because it's not like if Vegas would have been around back then, the odds of them pulling this off against the superpower of all superpowers would have been horrible. I mean, it's not like they said, hey, it's probably a jump ball. We might be able to win this thing. Right? The odds were they were not going to win this thing. And so for these folks that had something to lose as well, to risk it. Yeah, it harkens back to people we think about that risk things to do big things, right? It's not like there's somebody that has nothing to lose. And they stepped up, and when they signed that thing, you kind of signed your death warrant in a way. And so I think it's worth talking about. We will when we come back, because I believe that the Constitution is way more important than any of the people, the names, the human beings that we talk about in today's political cycle. You know what? We may take it old school. That's what we're going to do. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Constitution in a way that will be relatable for people in our 40s, 50s, and 60s. You'll know what I'm talking about when we come back right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Yeah, David, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're correct. But I should point out, David said I was talking about Declaration of Independence. Yes, but it was the names on those documents, right, that there were the death warrants. Those folks had a reason to be, and the fact that they could disagree and still come to a document, right? So, so Declaration of Independence, here we go, right? You put your name down. We go the gravity of that situation, right? And then those men coming back when we put together the actual Constitution. Can you imagine getting, in today's world, with the ways things are pulled, getting that many people to agree? And they had disagreements, but having negotiations to be able to get the Constitution signed. I mean, we get this, I guess in school, there's this idea, maybe just old school, that they all kind of walked in there and said, yeah, we all agree on this thing. This looks good. Let's just sign up. There were many, this is the first of negotiation. This is what we look at in our, what we used to, in our legislative body. And people are like, they're negotiating, and it's going to be bad for us. This document, the Constitution, was not without disagreements, edits, and all those things. So they actually got the 39 to agree to sign this. And let's do this. I want to do a little education here on the Constitution. I figured, what better place to go? And if you're like me, a child of the 80s, or for children of the 70s, and maybe the 90s, these still ran. I don't know. Schoolhouse Rock, of course, the most famous, I'm a Bill on Capitol Hill, we all know that. But Schoolhouse Rock and their explanation, and maybe because they say in politics you're supposed to campaign to a eighth grade level education. You've heard that before, right? They do that in ads. They do that in rhetoric out there. So maybe this is perfect here for We the People. Instead of having a heady talk about the Constitution, let's have cartoon characters tell us about it.
USA, do you know about the government? Can you tell me about the Constitution? Hey, learn about the USA. In 1787, I'm told, our founding fathers did agree to write a list of principles for keeping people free. Principles down on paper and called it the Constitution, and it's been helping us run our country ever since then. The first part of the Constitution is called the Preamble and tells what those founding fathers set out to do.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and
secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. In 1787, I'm told, our founding fathers all sat down and wrote a list of principles that's known the world around. The USA was just starting out, a whole brand new country, and so our people spelled it out. They wanted a land of liberty, and the preamble goes like this:
we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. For the United States.
Big finish here. There you go. So Schoolhouse Rock, and I don't know how long YouTube will let this be on. Maybe it's going to be a misinformation, disinformation. Maybe the administration will call and say, listen, we're not saying you have to take down the Schoolhouse Rock Constitution cartoon, but we just want to make you aware it's up there. Think about this. It's been, what, 2 weeks ago, I think? Not even, maybe. Yeah, maybe it's 2 weeks. Today's the so about 2 weeks ago, that New York Times op-ed comes out, right? Jennifer Saleh, I think is her name, that wrote it. And obviously, it gets attention because of what she says. But I don't know that she doesn't believe it. The book critic there at the New York Times wrote this op-ed and said that the Constitution is dangerous. Constitution is one of the biggest threats to the country. Actually, I think she said in there, the biggest threat to our nation was the founding document. A quote from that, she said, Americans have long assumed the Constitution could save us. A growing chorus now wonders whether we need to be saved from it. The document that's supposed to be a bulwark against authoritarianism could end up fostering the widespread cynicism that helps authoritarianism grow. Okay. So, Jennifer Saleh, just so what we'll come back to some quotes from there. What exactly does she want? Because people say, we're a democracy, and we correct and on this show and say a constitutional republic. If the Constitution that gives us a checkpoint, it gives us a baseline, and we talk about that on the show a lot, that sometimes you get decisions you don't like, but they're constitutional, and it's a good thing because the Constitution draws back. Now, how far have we wavered from it? I would say quite a distance. But to have at least something grounded, some baseline to look back at, you can see how far you've moved one way. So somebody like Saleh and others that think the Constitution is this bad thing, it's anti-democratic, what would you have the baseline be? Here's another quote here from the op-ed over New York Times. I think this came out maybe Labor Day weekend, something like that. So here we go. So Saleh says, Trump owes his political assent to the Constitution. So therefore, because of her unbridled hate or unbridled dislike, maybe it's not hate, her unbridled dislike of Trump, anything that would benefit Trump must be bad. So she writes, Trump owes his political assent to the Constitution, making him a beneficiary of the document that essentially is essentially anti-democratic, and because we're not a democracy, Jen, that is essentially anti-democratic, and in this day and age, increasingly dysfunctional. She goes on to say, after all, Trump became president in 2016 after losing the popular vote but winning the electoral college. He appointed, so that bothers her because that's laid out in the Constitution, said he appointed three justices to the Supreme Court, so Article 3, two of whom were confirmed by senators representing 44% of the population, Article 1, and those three justices helped overturn Roe versus Wade, a reversal which most Americans, with which most Americans disagreed, end quote. So this idea that the Constitution is bad because you didn't get the result you wanted, and I've said this to people on the right, too, when a decision comes out and you're like, well, it should be this way, and it's like, well, that's unconstitutional. I mean, we dealt with a lot of this post-9/11, right? And there were these people on the fringe like me saying, I'm all for the security of our nation, but not at the cost of the liberty of the citizens. It's now become more popular to have that opinion. But so she doesn't like the outcome because the rules of the Constitution, she said, that's why Trump won, because of the Electoral College. So therefore, in her mind, the Constitution is dangerous. She says this in that New York Times piece, and you can look it up, although you have to go through the paywall there. But there's, I think it's posted other places online. She says, one of the biggest threats to America's politics might be the country's founding document. Well, I'm way more into the founding document than I am to America's politics. There has to be a baseline. If you want to change it, then do it. Do it in the process laid out. But to say that the Constitution has got to go because you're not getting the outcome you want. And this person is put up as a op-ed, big hubbub over at the New York Times. And there are probably people that agree with her greatly on this. That's scary. We have got to, even when it doesn't do what you want it to do, the baseline of the Constitution is what makes us different than so many other countries. And I understand the popularity of populism. I get it. But there, just because you want it, just because you think it's right, but the Constitution doesn't agree with you, doesn't mean it's dangerous for our country. It is actually what is not dangerous for our country. All right, grab some of your text on this. A fire dog said he said, I just sang along with that. Dang, still remember 35 years later. Schoolhouse Rock is maybe one day people will be trying to figure out this system and it'll come back as like the Dead Sea Scrolls. It'll be like, what were they talking about, this Constitution thing? Be like, man, we have found in an old hard drive somewhere these things called Schoolhouse Rock. And maybe there'll be a great epiphany and a change in our nation. Thank you. Texture showing me the We the People tattoo that I dig the most. I am not a tattoo guy, but if I was, but I know you. I don't know if I copy yours, but something like that is pretty cool. If I got a tattoo, I've often said I won't get a tattoo because, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to feel like about a subject and, in the future. I'm not that sure of what the Constitution, I think I'd be good on that. If I was going to get a tattoo, it would be something constitutional because my opinion of that has never wavered there. So maybe that is the right one. Let's see. Larry in Daphne. He says Larry previously from Daphne. He was born in 1990. He said, I remember the song and I still have the jingle of the preamble stuck in my head whenever I read it. See, they did some good. Schoolhouse Rock did some good, I think. King of all unnamed texters. Maybe the Constitution needs to rhyme. Possibly that the signers there should have said, listen, after we get all these parts in here and how the government's going to work and how the system is, maybe we should try to get it in iambic pentameter. Joshua says, if you're going to play Schoolhouse Rock, it needs to be Saturday morning and I need a bowl full of Life cereal with too much sugar or Lucky Charms. It's yes. Remember those days? Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to, the temptation of sitting around here, all of us going, remember when? Yeah, you can do that till cows come home and they never come home. But there was something about, you know, you talk about how when there were three networks, people watched all the, you know, debates and paid more attention to different things in politics. We do have, at least in my generation and back, the commonality of I can, because y'all will come up with movies I've never seen, I'll never see, or, you know, books that I've never read or never read, never will read. But we could all go back to things that happened on Saturday morning. And if you're in your 60s, 50s, 40s, we all have this thing, we all remember the same thing. It's odd, but it's a, maybe we have to look no further than Saturday morning in Schoolhouse Rock to find our tether to being Americans. Unnamed texter said, well said, brother. Keep up the good work. Well, thank you. I will stick with that Constitution thing. It's not done me wrong yet. All right, come back. More text and calls, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
And we're back, 12:52. I mean, you probably already knew what time it was. It's Midday Mobile. You might have known that as well. Did you know the phone number and the text line? 343-0106. Coming up here in just about 15 minutes or so, April Marie Fogle joins us. A lot to talk about with her, plus try to get her coached up to be a continuing guest host around here. So she's coming up a little after the news at 1 o'clock. All right, to the text line here. Let's see. Joey says, you reckon the woke liberals want the kind of power our great, brave founding fathers fled? You know, I'm sure some do. And there are people on both sides of the aisle that would move towards a system where our governance is based on kind of how everybody feels right now. And it's always been tough to push back against that. I've missed the train several times politically because I've stick with this Constitution thing. Because something's popular, that you would get so far removed from a baseline or a tether if you keep going to what's popular. That's why it's the genius of the Constitution. And like I said, we have drifted. But at least there was some baseline to look back at. And people will, if it's going to be their side, right, then, well, if people agree with me and then this side, then I want that to happen because I like that and this is what I think is the right thing. Well, next time it may be something you disagree with. To hand more and more power over is exactly what the founders did not want to have happen. The beauty of the system is the fact that we're at loggerheads a lot of times politically in this country. Now, I think people say, well, you know, today it's worse than ever. It's not good. It's not good for sure. And that we have the ability to have these opinions spread so quickly, you know, through electronic media, and that's not going to change. We're going to have better technology every day. We the people have got to change. We the people have to be able to stand up to those pulls out there and look back at that Constitution. Because if you don't, you end up with something that you aren't granted rights for. You're given, right? If you go into those systems of populism, well, that person, that politician gave you that thing, that right, instead of God. Instead of working off a baseline to say, I'm a human being, I'm an American citizen, and these things come with the deal. I already got these. You got to tell me why you would take them away from me. Versus if you chase populism on both sides of the aisle, then it's just as good as the last person that was in office. And the next person is going to give you more of that thing, or somebody else is going to take it away from you and give it to somebody else. David, I wonder who Trump likes better. Schoolhouse Rock or Taylor Swift? Why did he say the Taylor? I mean, you know, I can't believe he did the hating the Taylor Swift. He should have just said, she has no talent. She's not really good. Whatever. But yes. I think he would like Schoolhouse Rock. Chris in Orange Beach says, Schoolhouse Rock. What is a bill? Yeah, the bill on Capitol Hill. That's the most famous. Right, of course, that's the most famous. But there's way more in the catalog of Schoolhouse Rock that like Fire Dog sang along with it 35 years later. It was our little mush brains as we were eating. Unless I would spend the night with somebody, I didn't have fun cereal because I had the sugar police in my house. So I was eating some kind of, I don't know, grape nuts. Occasionally Raisin Bran would show up and it had sugar and I would eat like three bowls. But there you go. Oh, and thank you. Chris said no more city taxes. Chris had called about this before. And Chris, I'm definitely in this mix here because as days go on, I'm going to be looking for your recommendations on a hearing aid probably. You work in rock and roll radio and shoot guns your whole life, and you come from a family that has heredity of bad hearing. I'm be heading that way. But Chris said no more city taxes on hearing devices effective of, October 1st of this year. Passed unanimously. Foley City Councilman sent that to him yesterday. Very good. What Chris is talking about, the state removed taxes on hearing aids, but the municipalities have to do the same. Maximus going Fraggle Rock. Remember that? Clap, clap, down at Fraggle Rock. Absolutely remember the Fraggle Rock. Didn't that come on? Wasn't that on HBO at some point? I think so. Dr. Mariana, conjunction, junction. What's your function? I've been a grammar Nazi ever since that episode. I had a shirt back in the 80s with that on there, with the conjunction, junction on there. I don't know why I thought that was cool, but I did at some point. Terry says, thanks, Sean, for the Schoolhouse Rock Constitution video. It's a great reminder for everyone. It is. And that we have to have our tether and be brought back by a cartoon from the 1970s and 80s. This texture says, what's scary is that you have a problem with people or the media repeating the venom that spews directly from the mouth of your orange cult leader. That's a constitutional right. So it's scary that I have a problem with people or the media repeating the venom that spews. Do I? I love when I get lumped in with people like they're like, I assume he believes this thing. Say what? When have you ever heard me have a problem with First Amendment rights? I'm actually the opposite, unnamed texter. So there.